Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya. So tonight we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge. Text 30. Abhichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadur eva samantavya samyagvya vasato hisa. Translation. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So let us repeat this responsively. You can say after me. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service,
he is to be considered saintly
because he is properly situated
in his determination.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word sudur-achar used in this verse is very significant, and we should understand it properly. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. One is conditional, and the other is constitutional. As for protecting the body or abiding by the rules of society and state, certainly there are different activities, even for the devotees, in connection with the conditional life. And such activities are called conditional. Besides these, the living entity who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or the devotional service of the Lord, has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position, and they're technically called devotional service. Now, in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord. The Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. The material contamination is so strong that even a yogi fully engaged in the service of the Lord sometimes becomes ensnared. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. For, as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course. As soon as a devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he is found to have fallen. The words Sadur Eva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that, because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. In the Nrisinga Purana, the following statement is given. Bhagavati cha harava nanyacheta brisha malino piva rajeta manusya nahi shasha kalusha chabikada chit tamira parabhavatam upaiti chandra. The meaning is that even if one, fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, these activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs, as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. Abhichet Suracharo Bhajate Mamananyabak Sadur Eva Samantavya Samyagvya Vasatohisa. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly, because he's properly situated in his determination. Om Gyan Tamarandasya Gyanan Janashalakaya Chakshan Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vanchikalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this verse is very instructive in many ways. Yes, it's instructive in many ways, and in the purport Srila Prabhupada covers many important and interesting points. We all have two types of duties. One type of duty is called conditional. The other type of duty is called transcendental or spiritual. So, what are those conditional duties? Well, those are those duties that we may have in regards to our family. And the maintenance of our family, and perhaps we may be in some certain position in society or at work. We may have certain responsibilities. Like this, these are called conditional duties. Or things like maintaining the body, eating, sleeping. These are things we have to do for the body. But the soul does not sleep. Or even if the soul does sleep, the soul does not need to sleep. Yes, it's just the body which needs to sleep. But the soul is eternally conscious, always conscious and always active, always energetic. Just like Krishna, sometimes he sleeps, but he doesn't need to sleep. He's beyond these things because he's completely spiritual. Just like you may know, Krishna, he herds the cows. Then, in the evening, he comes home. Well, first of all, he's out herding the cows. Then at about midday or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, what happens every day? 1 o'clock or so, something very specific happens. Huh? Not at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Getting it. Huh? Not yet. No, not really. Some demon comes every day, just like clockwork. Every single day some demon comes. So then there's a big fight. Big fight. And Krishna kills the demon, of course, every time. Krishna kills the demon, and the cowboys, they cheer and clap, and they're very happy. And then what happens? Then they all know it is the sign, it is like a signal. Time for lunch. Lunch break. So then they sit down and they have lunch. And everyone is wondering. You know, Srila Prabhupada one time, he said, someone asked him, do you ever have any anxiety? He said, no. And he said, actually, yes. I have one anxiety. You know what that anxiety was? Prabhupada said, my only anxiety is, what is in Krishna's lunchbox? That's all. So you know what's in there. That lunchbox is not very big. It's about, you know, like that sort of thing, and that size by that size. Just like what children take to school. But you know what's in there? Many subjis, your favorites, like butter paneer, curd chutney, aloo beanie, of course, and all different types of subjis, and different types of samosas, potato ones and pea ones and curd and corn ones and metti and curd ones and cauliflower and pea ones and peas and curd ones and curd ones and many others. And many different types of chutneys. Tomato chutney, nuts chutney, apple chutney, pineapple chutney, guava chutney. Did you ever try guava chutney? Oh. And so many different types of chutneys. And many different types of sweets. Like burfi and laddu and lagdu and rasgulla and rasmalai and rabri and sandesh and many other types. Many other types. They're all there in that little box in large quantities, because that is not an ordinary little lunchbox. So then they all check what's in Krishna's lunchbox, everyone gets a bit, and then they have a rest. And then they carry on for the afternoon, and then in the afternoon, around 4 or 5, you know what happens? Another demon comes. 2 a day, every day. Then there's another big fight and Krishna kills the demon. And then they know it's a signal. Time to go home. So Prabhupada describes this actually in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it's the chapter talking about Agasura. And Srila Prabhupada says that if those demons, if that first demon did not come at lunchtime, they would never have stopped for lunch. Because they're just so happy playing with Krishna on and on. And then if that second demon didn't come in the late afternoon, they would never have gone home. They would have just carried on. They're just so happy playing with Krishna. So anyway, after that second demon, then that is the signal. Oh, time to go home. So they go home. And all sorts of things happen at home. But eventually, maybe around this time or so, Krishna goes to bed. Now, you know, I don't know if you know, but it is a fact that before Krishna will sleep, Mother Yashoda has to tell him a bedtime story. Yes. But not like Jack and Jill or, I don't know, whatever stories parents tell their children nowadays.
And certainly, Krishna doesn't stay up late watching the bold and the beautiful. Or kuch kuch hota hai. No. Mother Yashoda tells him a nice Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious, but he is Krishna. But she tells him a story about himself. Maybe in some other incarnation. Like Rupa Goswami, our great Acharya, tells the story of how one time Mother Yashoda told Krishna as a bedtime story the story of Lord Nrisingadev. And it's very nice the way Rupa Goswami describes it. Mother Yashoda says, once upon a time there was a very nice little boy named Prahlad. And Krishna says, yes? And Mother Yashoda says that, but his father, Hiranyakashipu, was a big demon. Yes? But then Lord Nrisingadev came and killed the demon and tore him to pieces. And Krishna claps, says, tell me that story again. Then Rupa Goswami describes another time Mother Yashoda told Krishna the story of Lord Ram. Once there was a great king named Ram. Yes. And he had a very nice wife named Sita. Yes. But then one demon named Ravana came. Yes. And he kidnapped Sita. And Krishna jumped up in his bed and he shouted, Lakshman, bring my bow! And Mother Yashoda looked at him. What nonsense is my boy talking? So then she puts Krishna to bed and she turns out the light, goes out of the room, and as soon as she's gone, Krishna goes out the window. Then it's the rasa dance. Around this time they start the rasa dance, and it goes all night. None of this Michael Jackson stuff. None of that. This is very nice. This is very nice dancing. So the beautiful rasa dance goes all night. And then they notice the sun is beginning to rise. A little light is coming on the horizon. So they have to run home. They run home and Krishna dives through the window into bed. He's completely exhausted and he just conks out, completely knocked out. 5 minutes later, Mother Yashoda is at the door. Krishna, time to rise, time to herd the cows. She comes in. There's Krishna, he's completely out for the count. And Mother Yashoda looks at him and says, oh, my poor little boy. He was working so hard yesterday herding the cows. He's still tired, even though he slept all night. So she wakes him up. Krishna just goes, sort of, And she says, I'll let him have another 5 minutes. Then she comes back in 5 minutes, but then he has to get up. So you don't get a lot of sleep there in Goloka Vrindavan. So you better get used to it. Anyway, we were saying, weren't we, that there, we have two types of activities. Conditional activities means the activities to do with the body and the mind and everything connected with that. Eating and sleeping and working and dealing with the external world and going to the shops and all that sort of thing. This is all part of our conditional activities. And then we have our transcendental activities, spiritual activities, like chanting Hare Krishna, taking part in the kirtan, associating with the devotees, doing devotional service, like cooking for Krishna, coming to the Namahata, reading Prabhupada's books. These are all transcendental activities. So Prabhupada's saying here, sometimes there may be a clash. Sometimes there may be a clash. And due to the fact that we have been in material life for so long, and we're so used to it, it's just become like second nature. So sometimes we, because there's so many conditional activities, every day we have to do various things. Every day we have to go to the factory, and there we pull the lever, press the button, step on the pedal all day. Lots of fun at the factory. So we're very habituated to these things. So sometimes they may get the better of us, and we may be meant to be chanting, for example, but we may get involved in some material activity, even because most people are brought up eating meat and intoxication is there and all these things. Even sometimes we may get drawn into those types of things. It's not impossible. Of course, after one has been a devotee for a little while, it becomes less likely, even very unlikely. But particularly in the early stages, it wouldn't be terribly surprising to hear that someone who's newer to Krishna consciousness, somehow or other they got caught in some situation and they broke one of the principles. Maybe, not that they really wanted to, but maybe there was some social pressure or something like that. Just like one of our devotees. I don't think any of you would know him. He was from a long time ago when we were building the temple. We went out to collect, to raise funds for building the temple. In about March or April 1982, 19 years ago. And we were going to door to door in Bethlehem. You heard of Bethlehem? OFS or OVS. Right out there in Africana land. So he knocked on a door and the people said, come in. And we were selling paintings, all these just ordinary Western paintings, to raise money from the white people. So these people said, oh yes, we'll take a painting. But, you know, we make cherry liqueur. They made it themselves. They had some cherry trees. They said, we want you to try some of the cherry liqueur. He said, well, thank you very much, but it's okay. You know, I'm all right. I just had lunch and I'm not thirsty. They said, no, no, no. You have to. We're taking your painting. You have to take it. So he just got pressurized into it. And so he took this cherry liqueur thinking, oh my Lord, what do I do? So he closed his eyes, he lifted it up, he said, Om Namo Shivaya. And